Hello and welcome to Oxcast, your weekly roundup of what's worth seeing day to day in Oxfordshire. I'm Alwyn Collinson.
And I'm Patrick Bale.
And we are here with this week's podcast. We are recording on the 21st of November, that is a Wednesday, so we're going to be covering events going up to next week when you can tune in once again. So, let's kick things off. Christmas is, of course, well and truly coming. Have you noticed that?
I have. I've noticed the lights going up. I believe
yes.
They're about to be switched on.
That's right. The Cal lights right across the county are going to be switched on this week and next week. We kick off with Oxford's Christmas Light Night, which has now become so popular, they're actually extending it across 2 days this year. It's a little bit of a weird choice, but I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt. The switch on itself is going to be on Thursday, and then the Light Night celebrations, which is, you know, what the big hoo-hurrah is about, are going to be on the following day, on Friday. So there'll be a lantern procession through the city centre on 6 p.m. on Friday.
That should be beautiful.
It should be beautiful, although it does, of course, mean that the city centre will be much of it will be closed to traffic. Yes, just go for a gentle wander, maybe it'll snow, fingers crossed. But there's not just a procession, because there's also loads of Oxford attractions, which especially open late for the night. Just to name a few, the Pitt Rivers Museum and the Story Museum, the Ashmolean, the Museum of the History of Science, will all be open until 10 p.m. Many of them are hosting special events and live music.
I can strongly recommend going to the Museum of History of Science.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Especially after hours. That must be a true yeah. Modern steampunk experience if ever wanted to find one.
It's so great. It's the way it's sort of hidden in plain sight, right in the centre of Oxford. And they probably, I don't know how many people they get through the door, but most tourists probably don't even realise it's there.
It is small and unassuming, but full of treasures.
Beautiful inside, including a blackboard written on by Albert Einstein, which is one of my favourites.
Excellent.
The idea that even when Albert Einstein wrote on it in the 1930s or whenever, he was already so famous that they were like, no, keep the cleaners away from it, quick, put it in the basement.
Tarnish that.
Yes, exactly.
Straight away.
All right, so I think you've got outside of Oxford for us, haven't you?
I do, yes. If you are not in Oxford for the very day or the next day itself, you can see very similar events pretty much across Oxfordshire. If you're in Bicester, you can see things kicking off from 7 p.m. on Thursday. They have choirs and gospel music.
Great.
It's going to be a switch on by the Lord Mayor, so local
yes.
Royalty
what else
and dignitaries.
Lord Mayor's for,
indeed. Woodstock has on Saturday the Night of 1,000 Candles, which will be accompanied by carols and a traditional Christmas market.
That should be fun because Woodstock is beautiful, isn't it? It's already
it is.
Cute and quaint and lovely. So when they have Christmas lights added to it, I think
all it needs is some fairy lights.
Yeah,
one-off thing.
Exactly.
Followed shortly after, Banbury will be switching the lights on Sunday. That will be hosted by Coronation Street's Jason Grimshaw and David Platt.
If you like that sort of thing.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Moving on, is there anything to bring a smile to the face this week?
Well, yes, there is actually some comedy, if, of course, you're not already enlightened by the Christmas spirit percolating into your heart. Geordie comic Ross Noble is bringing his surreal brand of stand-up to the New Theatre this weekend. The show is called Mind Blender, and it's Noble's usual mix of offbeat weirdness with heavily improvised humour. So apparently every show is different, but it's got some very, very positive reviews so far. But that is at 8 p.m. on Saturday. And what about if I wanted to add a sort of animal component to my week? Is there anything if I happen to be a fan of, of apes, say?
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because there is a special treat for ape lovers this very weekend.
Exciting! Don't tell me the zoo is coming to town.
Well, I think it's already here, if you believe most of the residents. A charity orange tie ball will take place in Oxford's Castle Quarter this Saturday.
Yeah.
It's orange because the proceeds go to help protect endangered orangutans in Sumatra, which is a very important a cause close to the heart of Daily Information.
Because they are, after all, orange.
They are orange and quite remarkable creatures, and they definitely, I mean, as all creatures deserve to continue, but orangutans are particularly friendly creatures.
Yes. I mean, you know, all creatures deserve, but
as far as I know,
flesh-eating mole rats have worse press than orangutans.
It's true, poor thing. There will be live music from local favourites, the original Rabbit Foot Spasm Band, who were very good, and the Dreaming Spires, who are also very good.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, everything about this event is fantastic. A charity auction in support of the Sumatran Orangutan Society, and it's hosted by a famous orangutan and notorious comedian, Bill Bailey. You really couldn't make this up.
This is fantastic.
It's brilliant,
isn't
it? I'm going to go.
You've sold me on it, so how do I go?
You can book online at orangutans-sos.org, and I'm sure a Google search for the event will bring that up.
Orange tie ball. There we go. Mark it in your calendars. Unfortunately, that means Ross Noble might get a few less people, but never mind. Finally, after all, he's not an orangutan.
perhaps they could join forces.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, they could all troop along afterwards. Finally, something for fans of Jane Austen. There is a new adaptation of Mansfield Park at the theatre, which runs until Saturday at the Oxford Playhouse. And we sent along our Daily Info reviewer, Catherine McNichol. Unfortunately, we don't have Catherine with us at this moment, but we do have her review, so it's like we're talking to Catherine, or at least her mind and words. She thought it was very good in general. I get the feeling that Catherine is a little bit of a Jane Austen purist. Do you ever get this feel that she's quite keen on the sort of, you know, the literary analysis of the texts?
Well, I find there are often sort of two camps that are quite strongly opposed when I go to see Jane Austen adaptations, right. And there are indeed the people who are very kind of keen on the text and mm-hmm. the interpretation of it, and people who like, you know, something to be reinterpreted. I remember going to a Pride and Prejudice about a year ago now at the Playhouse, which again completely divide the audience, split straight down the middle, pretty much 50-50. Everyone I talked to was either thoroughly in favour of the kind of adaptation of it, or was mortified that a certain aspect of the text had been changed. And I did find there were certain aspects that I was, you know, which kind of grated. And I suppose, especially given certain Jane Austens have had so many TV and film adaptations, there's already a kind of a big backlog of adaptations that may or may not have got people's go, or may or may not have given people something that they really felt that was how it should be done.
I feel if it's a wet Colin Firth, it's not worth my while. But it's funny.
Each to his own,
Well, Catherine said that this adaptation has a lot of gentle humour and the story is very prettily folded, but she does say you expect a flavour of Jane Austen but not wholehearted immersion in her prose. But on the other hand, that sounds, to be honest, I mean, I'm not really a Jane Austen reader, so to me that sounds rather fun. I think I'd like something that sort of turns it into a play, rather, because if you want just the text, well, the books are still on the shelf, aren't they?
I think that is probably the main difference between the two camps here, in that if you are a keen reader of the Jane Austen text, then you're going to appreciate an adaptation that's very, very honest and very faithful to the prose. If you've never read them, then probably you're used to the film, so you've got a completely different backstory. So, sounds worth going to see which one you are and submitting a review.
So Daily Info, yes, indeed, on our website, www.dailyinfo.co.uk, where, of course, we have hundreds of events that are on across Oxfordshire for the next week, where you can also add your own. And tune in this time next week to Oxcast, where we will be talking about another week's worth of events. So
I look forward to it.
Yes, until then, I'm Alan Conson.
And I've been Patrick Bell.